Good afternoon, folks. We'll start in just a moment here. We want to welcome you here this afternoon. We're gathered together here this afternoon in order to grieve together, but also to celebrate together. Here to celebrate the life of Diana Schultz, but also to celebrate the eternal life of Diana Schultz, which was the gift given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're here today then to pay our respects to her, to pay our respects to a dear wife and mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. I didn't know about that. I can't believe that. Great-grandmother. A sister, an aunt, a friend, and a sister in Christ. We're also here to reflect on who she was and how much she meant to us. But we're here to be comforted in our sorrow and grief, but also to be encouraged today, to be encouraged by the knowledge that Diana is now safe in the arms of her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We humbly ask you now to look down upon our grieving hearts and be gracious to us. Help us to cast every care upon you, and through your mercy and grace, find comfort and peace. May this service be honoring to Diana's memory and honoring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our opening scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is the night before Jesus was crucified. He had met with his disciples in the upper room. They had celebrated a Passover meal there together. And he had explained to them once again that he was going to be crucified, that he would die, that he would be buried, but he would rise again. They were deeply troubled by this. They didn't quite understand this resurrection thing. They just heard, he's going away, and where I'm going, you cannot follow now. But Jesus said this to them, and he says it to us also by faith. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Diana loved this hymn that we are about to sing, which speaks of our hope in Christ. It is a hope that we have because of what he did for us on an old rugged cross.
As we sing together, as we sing the fourth verse, there's some very sweet words, and it reminds me of what Diana is experiencing right now. The words are, then he'll call me someday to my home far away where his glory forever I'll share. Please stand as we sing together. So I'll cherish thee. rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to a pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the may be seated.
I want to take some time now to reflect upon the life and the legacy of Diana Schultz. And I always like to start these times by reading the obituary. This obituary reminds me of a story that I'm going to tell you in just a moment that I also like to share at every homecoming of a believer in the Lord Jesus. But the paper said this: Diana D. Schultz, age 59, of Wonder Lake, passed away Wednesday, April 13, 2016, at a residence surrounded by her loving family. She was born July 8, 1956, in Mount Gilead, Ohio, to Hayes and Inez Davis. And on May 20, 2004, she married Alan Schultz in Wonder Lake. Diana was an avid photographer, documenting all the family events on film. She enjoyed getting her hands in the dirt, and every day she would work on her garden or landscaping. She was an excellent cook, always experimenting with different recipes, with dreams of opening her own cafe. Most of all, Diana adored her grandchildren, making regular phone calls to keep in touch. Diana was a devoted wife, loving mother, and doting grandmother who will be missed by all. Survivors include her husband of 11 years, Alan, two daughters, Lisa, Hilton, and Kelly, and husband Roger Askin, three sons, Rodney and Rachel Gordon, Stephen and Susan Dunsing, Brian Schultz, six grandchildren, Riley, Noah, Caleb, Brittany, Matthew, Danielle, one great-grandchild, Rhea, and one sister, Rita Enriquez. Four brothers, Gary Davis, Tyron Davis, and Roger Davis. And in addition to her parents, Diana is preceded in death by her brother, Verley Davis. You know, as we read this obituary, it reminds me of a story I read a long time ago, and it just stuck with me. And I thought, I'd love to tell this story every time we are gathered together to celebrate the life and the homegoing of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the story of an evangelist named D.L. Moody, and he had become quite famous, and he was being interviewed by someone one day from the newspaper in Chicago, and D.L. Moody said to this reporter, you know, one day we're going to read in your newspaper there that D.L. Moody is dead. But don't you believe a word of it. For in that very moment, I shall be more alive than I ever was. And so now we have read the newspaper telling us that Diana has died. But don't you believe that, because in this moment, she is more alive than she ever was here. If you knew Diana, you know, though, that she had many physical challenges. Her body was giving out on her. She had been disabled for many years. But even so, she had a lot of drive, a very strong person. Diana had a lot of love. She loved her family. And she had a strong connection, especially to her sister Rita, who helped her spiritually. Rita was a big influence in her life. And she also had a close relationship with Alan's mother. She had lost her own mother much earlier. And so she had come to develop a close relationship with Alan's mother, even calling her Mama. She also, I want you to know, took a lot of comfort in the people of this church, many of you here today. Someone told me a story that I just have to share this one with you when I heard this. This kind of sounds like, no disrespect to Diana, but it kind of sounds like something that would have happened to Diana. And that is, there was one day, Diana had a heart of service. She cared for people and she wanted to help out in any way that she could. And so one day she had gathered along with some of the other ladies at the home of Renee Babineau. They were preparing some meals, a meals ministry that we had. And so she had gone over there to help with that. And so she was trying to work on this recipe, and she keeps holding the recipe, and she's looking at it, and she can't. And we probably all experienced that, haven't we? We get a little bit older, and all of a sudden we can't quite read things as well as we used to there. But no matter what she did, she just couldn't seem to read the recipe there. When then someone looked at her and realized she was wearing her glasses, and someone looked at her and said, "There aren't any lenses in your glasses." Now, I have no idea how that happened. And it was really kind of scary. She'd driven over to the home there without that. But I guess she could see a way. It was just up close that she needed that, needed those glasses. So anyway, that is a typical story that might have happened to someone like Diana. But she was, though, a person of strong character and strong will. Alan told me that as these afflictions came upon her, not once did she complain or ask, "Why me?" And even again, when the cancer, which she had fought off, when it returned again, not once did she complain or say, "Why me?" She would simply say, "Okay, what do we do now? What do we do now?" Very strong person. I'd like to take a moment now to give an opportunity for anyone else who would like to speak. If you'd like to stand up right where you are there or come up here, if you'd like to say a few words, I want to give you that opportunity to do so now. Would someone like to speak? Well, it was through the love and the prayers and the conversations with many of you here that she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal life in His name. She came to know and cling to that old rugged cross and to rejoice in God's amazing grace, the love of God expressed for us in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing of that amazing grace now.
The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Please be seated.
We can be comforted and encouraged here today by the fact that although Diana is absent from the body, she is what? Present with the Lord. And she is now experiencing the reality of the hope of eternal life. You see, one day God is going to raise her bodily remains here. He's going to refashion them and clothe them with glorious immortality, no longer subject to sorrow, pain, or death. And this is our hope in Christ. When the scripture uses that word hope, it means something that is sure and certain, not just a wish or a desire that something be that way, but something that is absolutely true and certain. It just hasn't happened yet. And that is the biblical hope of eternal life, sure and certain through faith in the Lord Jesus. See, God is going to complete the good work that He has begun in Diana. He was doing a good work in her. We've heard testimony of that here today. But He wasn't complete yet. It's not complete in us here today. But it will be complete. What is the completion of that good work? Well, it's standing in His presence, absolutely perfect, righteous, holy, and with a new resurrection body, an eternal body. That is the hope of eternal life, and that is the good work that God has done for us in Christ. And one day soon, when Jesus returns, He will indeed transform her mortal remains and fashion them anew in the likeness of His own resurrection body. Now, it's true that while Diana was with us in her mortal body, she suffered with the pains and afflictions of the mortal body, didn't she? I was reminded, in reflecting upon her and her life and some of the things that she had been through, I was reminded of a passage, a scripture passage in the book of 2 Corinthians, which refers to our mortal bodies, these bodies, as being like jars of clay. See, like our mortal bodies, clay jars are very fragile. These bodies are fragile. They're not meant to live forever. And they are cursed with sin and death, the effects of sin and death. But not so with the resurrection body. So while these jars of clay, these mortal bodies are fragile, yet they contain a great treasure. A great treasure. What is it? It is the treasure of the gospel, the good news of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it is a great treasure which Diana came to know and possess. She believed in Jesus and received from Him the gift of forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life in His name. She believed in the gospel, the good news, the great treasure that God has given us in Christ. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. He says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." And this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God and so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to Himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. But while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So, we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged, and we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. You see, Diana was pressed by troubles, but she was not crushed. She was perplexed, but she was not driven to despair, and she most certainly was never abandoned by God. See, God never promised that we wouldn't suffer hardship and difficulty or pain in this life, but He did promise that He would be with us and walk through it with us. Never will I leave you, never will I what? Forsake you. so she was not left or forsaken by God. Diana was knocked down, but she was not destroyed. But through the suffering she experienced, she shared in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus would be seen in her. And that life certainly was seen in her, wasn't it? The life of Jesus was evident in her dying body. She lived in the face of death, but the result now has been eternal life. And the scriptures promise that God will raise her, that God will raise her along with all of us who believe. You see, her body was dying, but her spirit was renewed daily by God. Her present troubles, those temporary afflictions, they have now passed. But they have been used in a way I don't claim to fully understand, that they have been used by God to produce a glory that vastly outweighs them all. Her suffering was temporary, but the glory that God has given her will last forever. Her earthly tent has been taken down, but she has an eternal home with the Lord, an eternal body which awaits her. She has departed the mortal body, but she will soon put on the eternal body. So let us then today rejoice in that hope, and also determine then, determined that we too will make it our goal to please Christ while we are at home in the mortal body. I want to remind us then too of some other powerful words that describe that blessed hope of the resurrection. This also Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he speaks of that moment when we will all be changed. He says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood, the mortal body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," a metaphor for physical death. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in what? Victory. O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These mortal bodies were not designed to last forever, to live forever. But the imperishable resurrection body is and will. Paul tells us a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will not all physically die, but we all will be changed. The generation of believers who are alive on this earth when Christ returns will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive when he comes will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. For the believer, then, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Diana is present with the Lord now. And so because of that, we can rejoice, and we also can ask, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" And we rejoice, then, that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death once and for all. We will worship him and serve him and enjoy him forever and ever. See, the resurrection of Jesus is a sure and certain hope, and we celebrate that every day, but we also celebrate it in a special way each year on Easter Sunday. Diana wanted to be here with us in the church to celebrate the resurrection with us this past Easter Sunday. But her mortal body, her jar of clay, would not permit it. So I thought that I would close our service for Diana today with a beautiful video that we used on Easter Sunday that tells the story of that first Resurrection Sunday morning and what we are about to see as an artistic video representation. Know, though, that Diana is now seeing and experiencing in person. And so for that, we rejoice and we give thanks. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would grant your sustaining strength to our grieving hearts. We thank you, Lord, that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that Diana had that hope in Jesus and is now with you, awaiting that great and glorious day of your return, when you will raise our mortal bodies and complete the wondrous work of salvation that you have begun in us. Enable us, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life and help us to see the things that are eternal, and grant that we may follow you with true faith wherever you may lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This now concludes our service. And on behalf of Diana's family, I want to thank all of you for coming today.